Digest Radio.
My favorite dessert is cake. Yeah. Cake's a true symbol of gluttony, though. If you eat a whole pizza, people are like, wow, you were hungry. But if you eat a whole cake, people are like, you got a problem. Addicted to cake. It's not like drinking. You never hear someone brag, yeah, last night I had 4 pieces of cake. Why are you telling us? Just want you to know I partied.
Strategist Radio.
Raw and real. No crap. No fluff. No hype. Just pure strategic pleasure from his playbook to yours. Love, affection, and looking out for you. Live from the Trinity Webworks Business Radio Studios on the Trinity Broadcast Network. The Strategist Radio Live with your Italian ace in the hole, TJ Marino. Empowering your business and marketing efforts with pinpoint accuracy.
I feel the need for speed.
Deploying targeted tactics.
I got tone. Fire it.
And leading edge business and marketing with purpose.
Up there, we gotta push it.
The Strategist Radio Live with TJ Marino.
Happy Labor Day 2015, 6:02 in the morning of your 7th day of September 2015. Welcome to a brand new week. Yes, we are on holiday. I'm still here for you. You're still here for me. Let's rinse our minds and let's remember that a negative mind will never give you a positive life. So, therefore, positive mind, positive vibes, positive life. A ton to talk about on the program today. We are still on our summer schedule. We'll be throughout the month of September. Today we'll talk about the startup strategy and when and how to hire a business lawyer. This is serious business. I don't care if you're selling just a single widget online. You may think I'm so small, I don't need any type of legal advice. I don't need a CPA. I don't need a business legal structure. Oh, well, you better think again. We'll talk about that on the program today. Also, we'll talk about plagiarism and how not to be a blog thief. Also, what you need to know before taking on investors with attorney Nina Kaufman. And we'll understand the 4 types of intellectual property as Mary Jateb checks in on this edition of Strategist Radio Live. So I hope you had a wonderful weekend, extended weekend. Kids getting ready to start school. Izzy's back in school Wednesday this week, and went out and got all of the rest of the school gear. She will be a junior, starts her junior year. She's all excited, her and her girlfriends. So we got all that done over the weekend, and we're ready to roll and excited for that. And what else is going on? Oh, also just wanted to let you know that we want to make sure that you're aware of what's going on for this month. Just so you know, coming up the remainder of this month on Mondays, because that's when we're going to be airing the show live throughout the month of September. Next week, we'll talk about marketing strategy and why business branding is so commonly misunderstood. On the 21st, Monday the 21st, 6 a.m., we'll do communication strategy and how to establish your unique selling proposition. And then we'll wrap up this month's summer schedule on Monday, the 28th September, with sales strategy and how to profitably land the perfect salesperson all ahead this month. We're getting ready for fall, so if you have any questions, comments, you'd like to be a guest on the program, you'd like to send me a video clip, an audio clip, maybe it's a blog post that you'd like me to share here on the program so that we can inform, we can infotain, We can share your victories and share some of your owies. Shoot me an email to support@tjmoreno.com. Keep in mind that even though we do the programs live on Monday, and in October, we will move to our regular Monday through Friday schedule again, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific time. All programs are recorded, so if you miss the live airing on syndication as we beam out to over 120 countries, not to worry, because we turn it into a podcast, and shortly after each live airing, it's available for you on the hub at tjmoreno.com. All right, so a lot to talk about today. I'm just going to get right to it. First of all, I want to thank you very much for all of your emails and your social media pings. Love the support. Thanks for the kindness. Really means the world to me. Keeps my tank full. Let's first talk about plagiarism a little bit here. And here's the deal. Based on research, it may be quite likely that your latest or previously written and distributed blog post contains the words and or ideas that were invented or created by somebody other than you. Perhaps your ideas or words were derived from a TV show, maybe a radio program, a conference keynote speaker, someone else's blog, an article, book. Even that photo that you lifted from another web location is subject to copyright infringement. So in any case, you need to cite it. Cite, C-I-T-E. If it's not yours, never claim it to be yours overtly or implied. According to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, plagiarism is defined as follows. This is to steal and pass off the ideas or words of another as one's own. Plagiarism can take place either on purpose or inadvertently. Recently, our firm here, Trinity Webworks, conducted a random sample survey of 100 blog authors by 100 individuals or organizations who refer to themselves as self-published or traditionally published authors. Now, check this out. Of the 100 blogs sampled in our study, 98% did not include any in-text citations or references used to write their blog postings. As such, we can conclude one of two outcomes. One, the author's blog contained copy that was exclusively comprised of personal opinion, and that no other sources were drawn from to arrive at the author's finished and globally distributed blog post, or number two, the author's blog included ideas, quotes, information, and or data obtained from someone else other than the author, him or herself, but was not appropriately, legally, or ethically credited within the title or the body of the blog post itself. Now, relative to number two, these authors have plagiarized someone else's content and have potentially violated U.S. copyright law on intellectual property. So here's the problem-solution approach. Because I don't want you to get busted. I want you to get in trouble. And I don't want you to destroy your brand and your reputation by doing something, you know, whether on purpose or inadvertently, you know, because you can't show up in a courtroom and say, well, I was just stupid. It's your responsibility. You got to take accountability. So to ensure that our firm maintains the highest ethical standard, we give credit where credit is due. Whether a blog be written for entertainment, maybe not for profit, or for business promotional purposes, the blog author must be sure to explicitly indicate or cite sections of the work that were derived from another source, the original content creator. Now, as a university scholar, I choose to adhere to the APA format. If you're not familiar with the American Psychological Association style, it is commonly used to cite sources within the social sciences industry. APA provides public to its entire APA catalog, so it's available to you. It shows you how to apply APA structured in-text citations, endnotes, footnotes, and reference areas or reference pages to research papers, blogs, articles, books, and other content channels. The APA resource I often refer to is that of the Purdue Online Writing Lab, or OWL, O-W-L. OWL provides direct access to the latest APA format guidelines. Now, OWL will also literally walk you, the blogger or content creator, through the complete APA-style process by way of sample papers, slide presentations, and even the APA classroom itself. So you've worked hard to develop your business strategy, your promotional plan. So why hurt your brand by not playing by the rules, by not conducting business from a foundation of professional, positive efficacy? Now, you might say to yourself, although this should never be an excuse, reason, or option, nobody else is properly citing their work, why must I? Don't ever take that approach. By taking the high road and doing what is ethical and right, you will distinctly set you and your brand apart from your competitors. That's brand differentiation. You're also setting a higher bar. You're also revealing to the world that your blog is more credible than just you. At the same time, you will be planting good seed in good soil toward a more productive season of abundant harvest. Now remember, as I share this with you today and other elements of this program, I am not a licensed attorney. I am not giving legal advice. I'm setting a standard for you to do further research to determine whether or not, how and when, or if this would apply to your particular business strategy.
Strategist Radio.
All right, so a lot to talk about. Let's talk about what we need to do if we're going to take on an investor. You just don't have enough capital in your own piggy bank, so chances are you're going to have to reach out and perhaps secure a angel investor. Maybe it's a venture capitalist of some sort. Could be, you may be even taking on a loan. But let's really talk about the concept of investors. Nina Kaufman checks in and explains when taking on investors, business owners need to abide by federal and state securities laws, which have been created to protect the investor.
When you bring investors into your business, you're starting to deal with securities and securities laws, and that's not an area that you want to mess with. You need to be very sure that your investors are what's known as sophisticated. And that's not la-di-da sophisticated. It means they're earning over $200,000 a year, or they have assets in excess of $1 million and above. You need to make sure that you're qualifying these people carefully, that you've got the right documents to make sure they're properly qualified. And you also want to be sure that you have what's known as a private placement memo or other documents so that you've disclosed all of the risks of investment. Without that, you could be in the soup. So make sure you don't go this area alone. Get the advice of securities counsel specifically so that you have a really strong offering.
Strategist Radio.
Strategist Radio 613 for your Monday. We're going to talk about startup strategy and when and how to hire a business lawyer in a couple of minutes. But first, Mary Jitip, she's a founder and CEO of Tracklight.com, shares the precepts relative to what we talked about a little bit earlier at the opening of the program, which is intellectual property. Talks about understanding four types of IP.
Intellectual property, or IP, a very misunderstood topic. It's not a very exciting topic, but there are four different types of IP, and it's very important to understand the four types of IP. First, the patent. People always talk about patents. You hear people saying, oh, I have this great idea, I'm going to patent that. Oh, this is a great name for this product, I'm going to patent that. It's very misunderstood. Patents are basically the right to exclude other people from making whatever you've created. There are some crazy patents. For example, there's actually a patent for a bird diaper. That would mean that if anyone other than that person decided they were going to make a bird diaper, that person could have stopped them from making the bird diaper. But the way it works is it's an exchange with the government. You're excluding other people from making your bird diaper, but you have to disclose how that bird diaper is made in detail. It's online, it's at the USPTO. You have to disclose that, and then after your patent runs out, which could be anywhere from 14 to 17 years to 20 years, depending on when you got your patent, at that time, the rest of the world can just go right ahead and make bird diapers. So there are two types of patents. There's the utility patent, and then there's design patents. But the whole thing to understand about it is it doesn't give you the right to make whatever you've created. Because, for example, with our bird diaper, there might be something that's used in that that someone else has a patent on. So you might have to go and ask them for the use of their, let's say, Velcro adhesives for the bird diaper. Now, that can get really complicated. And this patents is an area, there's just been a huge change in the law in the U.S., and it's an area that you must consult with a professional, and often that is a patent attorney. Understanding that you're not going to patent a name gives you a little bit more information. What are you going to do with a name, though? A name is something you can trademark, you can copyright. A trademark is something, one of the most famous trademarks would be Coca-Cola, Apple. These are brands. So what you're doing is that trademark for Coca-Cola on the bottle tells you that if I pour the contents of that bottle into my glass, I, as a consumer, am protected. I'm not going to get Pepsi. I am going to get Coca-Cola. That's the deal that is made. So the exchange is Coca-Cola pays for that trademark. They have the right to use it. And as long as they renew it, they get to keep using it. Now, Coca-Cola is a really great example of a trade secret. So a trade secret is often used instead of a patent. So if you think about the recipe for Coca-Cola, that has been around for over 100 years. If they would have patented the recipe and the process for making Coca-Cola way back when, it would have long since been an expired patent, and then everyone in the world would know how to make Coca-Cola. So what they do instead is they keep it as a trade secret. You don't necessarily have to go to an attorney to protect a trade secret because there isn't any way of filing like there is for a patent, a trademark, or a copyright. So with trade secrets, you do have to consult with a professional to make sure that however you're protecting it is proper and will meet whatever state law it applies to you. Now, with Coke, they do something really cool with it. They actually have divided up the secrets, so there's very few people who know the entire process. There's restaurants where there's secret recipes, and you'll actually have different kitchens where part of the process is done in one kitchen, part of the process is done in a different kitchen. There's many people will say, well, hey, I don't have any trade secrets, but things like customer lists, supplier relationships, these are trade secrets. Know-how about how you put together your software, trade secret. So with trade secrets, they're basically free to protect, but the very important thing about them is once the cat's out of the bag, that's it. No more trade secrets. So it's a pro and con between trying to patent something and keeping it as a trade secret. A final piece of IP is copyrights. Copyright does not mean the right to copy. So what it means is that once I write something down, once this video is recorded, someone has copyright in this video. And then that doesn't mean that nobody can copy it. What it means is that you have to figure out what are the permissions of use. For example, there's a great site, Creative Commons, where people put things on there, photographs and videos, and people can come and use them once you read the permissions. So the copyright is with the author. It lasts for the life of the author plus a number of years that keeps increasing. So as an author, you don't really have much to worry about during your lifetime, but then it becomes really interesting after someone dies. And a really good example of that is with Walt Disney, because the things that Walt Disney has created are all copywritten, but Walt Disney has passed away many years ago. So a lot of people refer to copyright as kind of the Disney law because the years after the author's death keeps getting bigger and bigger. So those are the four types of IP. You have your patents, your trademarks, and your copyrights, and your trade secrets. And for those of you who are still watching, thank you. And you might want to ask yourself, why? Why do I care about this? Because actually almost half the value of most companies in the US and the EU is intangible assets. And those intangible assets our intellectual property. It's the patents, the trademarks, the copyrights, and the trade secrets. So make sure that you understand what those things are so you can make sure that you protect them.
Strategist Radio.
Strategist Radio, 620 now. Monday, happy Labor Day. All right, here's something that's really important. Because listen, if you start off your business, you know, I don't care if you're starting off something that's really, really tiny. It's going to be internet-based. You're going to do a blog. You're going to sell some advertising. When is it time to develop that relationship with two individuals? The two individuals would be your business lawyer or a CPA, or both. So you start your business, you've got to protect yourself right out of the gate rather than trying to come back later and trying to clean up the mess. So when do you need to hire a lawyer? Well, the answer depends on the type of business, your particular circumstances. However, I will say this, it is totally worthwhile to consult one before making any decisions that would have legal ramifications. Now that leaves a big, gaping, gigantic gateway of possibilities. That's okay. We call that risk management. 50% of what you do every day is business, and 50% of what you do every day is risk management, protecting your business. Hiring a lawyer might mean setting up a partnership, corporation, checking for compliance with regulations. Maybe it's negotiating loans, obtaining trademarks or patents. Could be preparing buy-sell agreements. Maybe it's assisting with tax planning, drawing up pension plans. How about reviewing business forms, negotiating and drawing up documents to buy or sell real estate? How about reviewing employee contracts, exporting or selling products in other states? Maybe it's collecting your bad debts. Hey, if something goes wrong, you may need an attorney to stand in the gap for your particular trademark rights. Go to court for an employee dispute, or maybe defend you in a product liability lawsuit. Now, many entrepreneurs wait until something goes awry to consult a lawyer. But in today's litigious society, it's probably not the smartest idea. So how do we choose an attorney? This is not legal advice. This is something for you to think about, something for you to do, conduct further due diligence on your behalf. But this is important. It's part of your business, risk management. So how do we find the right attorney? First step, ask for recommendations from business owners in your particular industry, or maybe from professionals such as maybe the bankers, or maybe your accountant that you trust. Or just grab a bunch of names, ask them for specific strengths and weaknesses of the lawyer they recommended. Then take the process even a step further. Ask your business associate's attorney whom they recommended and why. Why they recommend them. Attorneys are more likely to be helpful if you phrase the request as, if for some reason I couldn't use you, who would you recommend and why? If you still need more prospects, maybe you contact the local bar association. They're in the state. Next, you want to set up an interview with maybe the top five lawyers that you're considering. Tell them you're interested in building a long-term relationship and find out which ones are willing to meet with you for an initial consultation without charging you a fee. At the initial conference, you got to be ready to go. You got to be ready to describe your business and its legal needs. This is why it's good to have that business plan in place. You want to make sure that you're taking copious notes of what the attorney says and does, and look for these qualities. Some ideas for you. We want to look at experience. We want to look at understanding. Does the attorney understand what it is you need? Remember, just like a doctor, medical doctor, some are brain surgeons. Some work with the skeletal structure of our bodies. Okay, some are pediatrics, some are podiatrists, etc., etc. So what is their understanding? What is their core competency? How is their ability to communicate? If the lawyer is continually talking legalese over your head, that's not going to work. Also, what is their availability? What type of rapport? Is this someone that you can get along with? Are the fees reasonable? I mean, attorneys can charge anywhere from $50 to $1,000 per hour, depending on your location, size, and prestige of the firm, as well as the lawyer's reputation and experience. So you want to make sure you're shopping around for those fees. And don't be afraid to ask for references. Many entrepreneurs, the idea of consulting a lawyer conjures up scary, spooky, freaky visions of these escalating astronomical legal bills. I understand that. But while there's no denying that lawyers can be expensive, the good news is there are more ways than ever to keep a lid on the costs. Here's some ideas. Learn about the various ways lawyers bill for time. Number one, it might be hourly or on a per diem rate. Could be a flat rate. Could be a monthly retainer. Could be a contingency fee. Could be value billing. Value billing is some law firms bill at a higher rate on business matters if the attorneys obtain a favorable result, such as negotiating a contract that saves perhaps your company thousands and thousands of dollars. So if you think one method will work better for you than another, don't hesitate to bring it up with the attorney. Many will offer flexible arrangements. And here's a one that we've used for years, and that's paralegals. Using paralegals as part of your legal team can be a great way to keep those costs cut. Certain legal tasks, for example, preparing a simple document, straightforward enough that a paralegal may very well be able to handle them instead of hiring a high-priced lawyer. Don't assume your lawyer will suggest this route either, by the way. Ask him or her about it. And always make sure that the paralegal is supervised by a business lawyer. Important. This same thing goes for legal assistants and maybe even junior attorneys. Ask your lawyer if it's possible for the most junior member qualified to do the work to handle your account, simple task, and if they're available, and this could save you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars over the course of your relationship. So there's some ideas about how to, as you're building your company in startup mode, remember, we're looking for, when we're making decisions, we have to protect ourselves. If you make a decision that's going to have legal consequences, and you have to come back later and clean up the mess, it's better to be preventative than to wait for the wheels to come off. Because then you're already in panic mode. So be preventative. All right, so there's some ideas for you. Help you out a little bit. Do your research. I realize that the concept of hiring an attorney or finding a CPA is not sexy. But it's important, and I wanted to cover it. And I got a lot of questions on this over the last 3 or 4 months. So I wanted to do an episode speaking on behalf of when and how to hire a business lawyer. God bless you. Thanks for being my friend. Love you very much. Next week, we will be back. And we will do it live Monday morning. Podcasts are available at the hub at tjmoreno.com. Next week on the 14th, Monday, we'll talk about marketing strategy and why business branding is so commonly misunderstood. Make it a great Labor Day 2015. And please go out and look for those opportunities to love someone. Let's close it out.
Live from the Strategist Business Radio Studio, this has been the Strategist Radio Live with TJ Moreno. We'd love to hear from you. Thoughts, comments, ideas, victories, and even your business's silliest business moves. We invite you to contact us anytime. If you'd like to share your business best practice strategy on an upcoming edition of the show with our global audience, email Tony at support at tjmarino.com. Be sure to make your way to the Hub and help yourself to all the fresh, relevant, and timely business strategy materials, including the complete radio archive library, by visiting and bookmarking tjmarino.com. If you would like Tony to set aside the time to review your present business strategy, send your request in care of support at tjmarino.com. We'll see you again Monday through Friday, 6 to 6:30 a.m. Pacific, for our next raw and real intimate get-together on the Strategist Radio Live.
Strategist Radio.